অজ্ঞান তিমিরান্ধস্য জ্ঞানাঞ্জন শলাকয়া চক্ষুরুন্মীলিতং যেন তস্মৈ শ্রী গুরবে নমঃ। মূকং করোতি বাচালং পঙ্গুং লঙ্ঘয়তে গিরিম যৎকৃপা তমহং বন্দে শ্রীগুরুং দিনতারণম্। ওম নমো ভগবতে
বাসুদেবায়।
ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়। ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়। শ্রীমদ ভাগবতম এইথ ক্যান্টো চ্যাপ্টার 24 টেক্সট 49। না যৎ ভাগলেশম অন্যে চ দেবা গুরব জনাস্বয়ম্। কর্তুম সমেতা প্রভবন্তি পুংসাস তাম ঈশ্বরম ত্বাম শরণং প্রপদ্যে। ট্রান্সলেশন: নাইদার অল দ্য ডেমিগডস নর দ্য সো কল্ড গুরুজ নর অল আদার পিপল আইদার ইন্ডিপেন্ডেন্টলি অর টুগেদার can offer mercy that equals even 1/10,000 of yours. Therefore, I wish to take shelter of your lotus feet. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. It is said, Kamoi stoi stoi rito jnana prapadyante anna devata. People in general, being motivated by material desires, worship the demigods to get fruitive results very quickly. People generally do not become devotees of Lord Vishnu, since Lord Vishnu never becomes the order supplier of his devotee. Lord Vishnu does not give a devotee benedictions that will create a further demand for benedictions. By worshipping the demigods, one may get results, but as described in Bhagavad Gita, antavantu phalam tvesam tad bhavattalpa medhasam, whatever great benediction one may achieve from the demigods are all temporary. Because the demigods themselves are temporary, their benedictions are also temporary and have no permanent value. Those who aspire for such benedictions have a poor fund of knowledge, tad bhavattalpa medhasam. The benedictions of Lord Vishnu are different. By the mercy of Lord Vishnu, one can be completely freed from material contamination and go back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, the benedictions offered by the demigods cannot compare to even 1/10,000 of the Lord's benediction. One should not, therefore, try to obtain benedictions from the demigods or false gurus. One should aspire only for the benediction offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sarvadharman parityajyo mamekam saranam braja, aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokkhayishyami ma shuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. This is the greatest benediction. So, a real devotee does not really want anything material from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, unless and until one comes to the position of renunciation, he cannot actually develop the devotional attitude towards the Lord. That's why another name for devotional service is Vairagya Vidya. Vairagya means renunciation. And Vairagya and Bhakti, they are very closely connected. Actually, two wings of Bhakti, two wings of devotion are Gyan and Vairagya. It is not that Gyan and one must attain the Jnana and Vairagya and then develop devotional service. No. When one becomes a devotee of the Lord, when one develops devotional service to the Lord, then Gyan and Vairagya is automatically manifest, provided he is pursuing the proper course. If one is pursuing a pure devotional service, if one is pursuing the real devotional practice, then he automatically will become free from material attachments. So Vairagya and Jnana and Vairagya, knowledge and renunciation, become automatically manifest in a devotee. Sometimes people say, why devotees do not study books? There are so many books, there are so many Vedic literatures. Only yesterday someone told us, why devotees do not study all those books? But unfortunately these people cannot understand that knowledge of a devotee is automatically manifest in his heart. It is not that a devotee will have to study many, many books and then he will have to learn those subject matters. After all, Krishna is beyond the material sense perception. Krishna is adhokshaja. Krishna is transcendental. So, since Krishna is transcendental, Krishna cannot be understood by our mental speculation or sense perception, or by studying, or by our intelligence, or by memory, or by austerities and penances, or by any religious practices. Krishna cannot be understood by any of those things. Krishna can be understood only by bhakti, devotion. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that bhakta mam abhijanati javan jaschashmi tattata. Only the devotees get to know me by means of devotional service. And besides that, there is no way to know Krishna. These so-called scholars in the material platform, they may be very proud of their bookish knowledge by their mundane studies, but actually their position is Maya has stolen their knowledge. Mayaya aparhita jnana. There are four kinds of people, those who do not surrender to Krishna, and one of them is Mayaya aparhita jnana, whose knowledge has been stolen away by Maya. Apparently they are very learned scholars, but they are actually the fool number one. Because Maya has stolen their knowledge. So, on the other hand, we can see that the devotees, although they may not study books, so many books, but they are much wiser than those so-called wise fools. They do not have to study, because in the heart of a devotee the knowledge is automatically manifest. Dibbo gyan ride prakashita. That is our position. We do not make an endeavor to study so many books and even so many scriptures. But we get the clear understanding just by becoming a devotee, just by rendering devotional service. Now that these people cannot understand. They think that unless and until one goes to the university and studies, unless and until one just reads volumes and volumes of books, one cannot have knowledge. But if they open their eyes a little bit, then they could see for themselves that these devotees are situated in real knowledge. Otherwise, how could they have given up these material attachments? The sign of real knowledge is Vairagya. Jnana and Vairagya are interlinked. Jnana, knowledge and Vairagya are interlinked. The real knowledge will lead to renunciation. That is automatic. We see in the Vedic culture, the Brahmins are automatically renounced. And the real Brahmins, I'm not talking about this birth Brahmin or caste Brahmins. The real Brahmins, those who are situated in knowledge or Brahma Jnana, they're automatically renounced. Why? Because real knowledge makes one realize the futility of the material nature. A person situated in real knowledge, he realizes that this material nature is temporary. So what's the use of becoming attached to something that is temporary? Because being attached to something that is temporary simply causes misery. Because if I am attached to something that is going to perish day after tomorrow, then it's going to cause me pain. So why become attached to that? That is the real knowledge. When one becomes situated in that knowledge, then automatically he becomes detached. He feels that, well, there is no need to become attached to this body, there is no need to become attached to the thing related to the body. Because when the body is finished, everything will be finished. I may struggle very hard and save a million marks in the bank, but when this body is finished, then I won't have any claim to that money. So why unnecessarily make so much endeavor? That is not going to be long-lasting. Like an example can be given, like when you go to a hotel, then you do not spend your money to decorate the hotel room. Because you know you are there only for 2 days or 1 day. Why spend your money to decorate the room there? But in your home, or rather at your home, you spend so much money, you make so much endeavor to decorate the house. Because you know it is permanent. I mean temporarily permanent. Or permanent. So, I mean at least you'll be in your house for this lifetime or at least for a few years. But in a hotel room, you know you are there only for 2, 3, or 4, 5 days. So why spend your money to decorate that room where it is not going to be actually useful. So same way, this material nature is like a hotel. Like we have come, it's even worse than a hotel. It's like a prison house. We are here only for a short while, and as long as we are here, we are subjected to great punishment. So let us understand why we are here. Let us face the fact that this is a prison house, and we are here to suffer. And we are entitled to or subject to suffer in order to rectify our perverted consciousness. That is the business. That is the reason why we are here. So let us understand this point and try to take full advantage of this. Like we are here, we are suffering because we have committed a great crime by rejecting Krishna. So now let us just accept Krishna as the heart of hearts and the soul of our souls. And when we accept Krishna, then everything becomes all right. Then our sufferings are immediately mitigated. Of course, karmis will not understand that. They'll say, why devotees, we see that the devotees are suffering from cancer, devotees are dying from cancer, and so on and so forth. The thing is, our answer is that yes, the body suffers, but since I know that I am not this body, I do not become subject to that suffering. The body suffers. It's the function. It's the business of the body to suffer. The body is born and the body will die. So body will go through these different changes. But when I isolate myself from the body, knowing that I am not the body, but it is I who keeps the body alive, then automatically I become free from this suffering, or if I do not become affected by this suffering. The devotees also suffer, apparently. But this suffering does not touch the devotee's consciousness. Like an example is Jesus Christ. He was being crucified. Now apparently it's a very, very painful thing. But obviously Jesus was not being affected by this crucifixion. Because he was such an elevated personality, he was such a great devotee of the Lord, that he was simply beyond his body consciousness. So when his body was being crucified, he was not affected by that. He was totally unperturbed. The example also can be given, like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes this body as a cloth. The way we wear our clothes, so the same way this body is actually a covering of the spirit soul. Now, a cloth, no matter how expensive it is, how good it is going to worn out sometime. So it's a cloth's business to get worn out. But a man who knows that I am not this cloth, I am not this shirt, so he does not become affected when the shirt is worn out. What he does, he takes off that shirt and puts on another new shirt. So that is the position of a devotee. It is not that when one becomes a devotee, he does not suffer. His body does not suffer. Devotee is not like a yogi. Yogis can, these Ashtanga yogis, they can ward off the physical suffering. They make whole lot of trouble. They undergo a lot of suffering in order to ward off the temporary suffering. They go up in the Himalayas in minus 60 degrees and then they sit there naked, without any food, just breathing air. They try to control the different life airs of the body, and by doing that they ward off the physical suffering. They can also control birth and death. But the thing is, what is the big deal? I mean, they are undergoing so much suffering in order to be rid of a temporary little bit of suffering. So better is to completely transcend the platform of suffering, platform of misery. In the prison house we are suffering, so let us get out of the prison house. Then our sufferings will be mitigated. We do not say, well, in the prison house, I will remain in the prison but not be affected by the suffering of the prison house. That is not very intelligent. So, the devotees of the Lord, they are not so much concerned about physical welfare or material enjoyment. On the other hand, they become totally detached from all these material enjoyment and physical attachments. But the ones, those who are not, then they try to get different kinds of benedictions and boons from different demigods. But Krishna, when a devotee surrenders unto Krishna, Krishna does not give him anything material. Actually, Krishna does not give devotees anything material, because Krishna knows that these material things are simply going to cause him more and more damage. So Krishna, who is Bhakta Vatsal, who is the dearmost friend of the Lord and the best well-wisher of the devotees, he always makes arrangements for the devotees to become more and more detached from material nature. Only when someone uses devotional service for material attachments, then Maya tricks them by giving them more and more material attachments. It is Maya who tricks the devotees with Dhanam, Janam and Sundarim. That is the business of Maya. But when one transcends the platform, the material attachments, then Krishna makes arrangement that he is not attached by any of these things. And that's why Krishna promises, Yashaham anugrinhami harishe taddhanam shanai. Upon whom I bestow my mercy, I very quickly steal away all his material attachments. So that is what Krishna does. Krishna's, another name of Krishna is Chaudagraganna. Krishna is the best of all the thieves. And Krishna steals away all our material attachments. In the beginning, Krishna steals our material attachments, and at the end, Krishna steals our heart. When our heart becomes soft as butter, then the butter thief Krishna steals our heart. So that is Krishna's position. So that is how Krishna helps his devotees. That's how Krishna bestows his mercy upon his devotees. So that's why a devotee should be very, very careful not to desire anything for material enjoyment. Mahaprabhu, that's why, warned him, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Actually, all our material cravings culminate into these three points. We want dhanam, wealth, we want janam, we want name and fame, and we want sundarim, we want beautiful woman. But a devotee should not desire these things, knowing the temporary features of these, knowing that these things are actually impediments in devotional service. Actually, we want Krishna, but Maya is bewildering us by offering these things. So we must say that, well, I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this. I don't want Maya, I want Krishna. That is the ultimate consideration of a devotee. That I want Krishna and nothing but Krishna. And more we try to, more we become attached to Krishna, the more strong Maya will become. Maya will try to give us more dhanam, more janam, and more sundarins. Like in Brihad Bhagavatamrita yesterday we were describing, that ultimately when the living entity comes to the ultimate region, when he is just about to leave the material nature, then Maya herself offers herself to the devotee. Why are you going? Why don't you stay and enjoy with me? So, and devotee should say, well, please forgive me. I offer my obeisances to you from all 10 directions and please help me get Krishna. Don't please bewilder me as Mahamaya. Reveal your Yogamaya form, and in that form you help me go close to Krishna. Devotee does not reject Maya outright. The Maya has got two features, Mahamaya and Yogamaya. The bewildering feature and helping feature. So we must accept the helping feature of Maya, the Yogamaya feature, that helps us go close to Krishna. And when we do that, then we are safe. So, to go back to yesterday's thing, yesterday we described how Gop Kumar went to Vrindavan. So, I didn't have the time to elaborately describe the activities in Vrindavan, which is actually very, very relishable. Gop Kumar, I described in brief that Gop Kumar was instructed by Uddhava about the supremacy of Vrindavan. I didn't have the time to elaborately describe the activities in Vrindavan, which is actually very, very relishable. Gop Kumar, I described in brief that Gop Kumar was instructed by Uddhava about the supremacy of Vrindavan and the devotees of Vrindavan. So then Uddhava in Dwarka told Gop Kumar that you go back to Bhoma Vrindavan, you go back to Vrindavan on this planet. So Gop Kumar then came back to then while he was listening to Uddhava, in acute love for the Lord, Gop Kumar fainted. And when he woke up, he found himself in Vrindavan. He found that he was transferred to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, in separation of Krishna, sometimes he used to feel that he was burning in a tremendous fire. And then again sometimes he used to feel that it is a sublime feeling of intense love. He could not make out whether it is a feeling of acute burning sensation or it is a feeling of dissolving in intense love. So sometimes he would feel himself submerged in Jamuna River. Jamuna is actually the sublime love of Krishna. Krishna's love melts into Jamuna and she flows through Vrindavan. So Gop Kumar used to feel himself submerged in that love in Jamuna. And that is the thing, like in the spiritual platform, in the transcendental platform, it is all blissful, all joyful, in spiritual platform, union with Krishna is also joyful and separation from Krishna is also joyful. In the material platform, union is joyful and separation is sad. But in the transcendental platform, since it is the platform of all joy, all ananda, all bliss, there union is also blissful and separation is also blissful. And the experts say, the Mahajans, the authorities of devotional service, they say that the joy of separation is actually even more relishable than the joy of union. Now, of course, this is beyond us. We cannot understand that from the material platform, how that is. When devotees are crying in separation from Krishna, when the devotees are becoming mad in separation of Krishna, then how can we say that it is joyful? But we have to understand that in the transcendental platform, everything is blissful, and all the bliss is derived out of Krishna consciousness. And in separation, when one becomes even more Krishna conscious, that's why in separation there is more joy than in union. But of course, then again, as I said, that we have to be sure about one point, that the absolute platform is beyond our relative assumption. So, this way Gop Kumar was spending his time. He didn't have any concept of time as such. He didn't know how many, whether he was there only for a few days or a few minutes, or he was there for years together. In total Krishna consciousness, being absorbed completely in Krishna consciousness, he didn't have any concept of time. This also can be described like when one is sleeping, he doesn't know for how long he slept. Like he may think that, well, I just slept the other day, or a few hours back, or a few minutes back. But when he wakes up, he may feel that, well, I slept for so long. But he looks at his watch and he sees only 10 minutes have passed. And then again, we know the story of Rip Van Winkle. Do you know the story of Rip Van Winkle? He slept, and he slept for so many years. Hundreds and hundreds of years. So when he woke up, he found that the whole world has changed. So the thing is, when we go beyond this material platform, then we go beyond the concept of time and space. It is somewhat like sleeping, but it is not quite like sleeping. It is diametrically opposite to actually sleeping. In sleep, we merge into total ignorance, but in Krishna consciousness, we merge into absolute knowledge. Now, this absolute ignorance or absolute knowledge may appear to be alike. Like the dusk and dawn may appear to be alike. When the sun rises and when the sun sets, it looks the same. But they are diametrically opposite. So the same way, deep sleep and intense Krishna consciousness may appear to be alike, but they are actually diametrically opposite. Then one day, this Gop Kumar, he saw Krishna. He fainted in the forest of Vrindavan, and then Krishna came, and he brushed the dust from his body with the peacock feather. And then when Gop Kumar opened his eyes, he saw Krishna. And he was so ecstatic. He immediately tried to grab Krishna's dhoti. But then Krishna just moved away. And facing him, Krishna just moved backwards, and then he disappeared in the forest. And Gop Kumar ran after Krishna, but he couldn't find him. And he began to cry in acute separation of getting Krishna and not getting it, like Prabhupada describes it, like when a poor man gets $1 million all of a sudden from nowhere, then he becomes very happy. But then if he loses that money, then he becomes mad. So the same way a devotee feels, after a long separation, when the devotee sees Krishna, he becomes very happy. But then when Krishna disappears, then his feeling of separation becomes 100,000 times more intense. So when he was wailing and crying and rolling on the ground like that in separation of Krishna, then a spaceship came and he was taken into the spaceship and it moved with a tremendous speed, with a terrible speed. It's an inconceivable speed. It was moving. And in a very short time it passed through the layers of universe, Vaikuntha, Ajodhya, Dwarka, where Gopkumar spent some time before, and then it came to Vrindavan. So when he came to Vrindavan, then he saw some ladies were picking flowers, and he asked them, where is the king of that place? And he saw these ladies were moving as if they do not as if they have lost something. And in a feeling of great loss, they were just moving about lifelessly, picking flowers. And they were crying and they were so Gopkumar went to them and asked, can you please tell me where is that personality who is the king of this place? So these ladies did not answer. And so Gopkumar said, look, if you all have taken a vow of silence, then at least you indicate with your hand where is the direction. So even then the ladies did not answer. So he became very upset. Not upset, he felt that really I don't understand these people. And he felt that in great separation, they have become like that. So then he began to walk. Then he came and saw one old lady. She was saying, Hey Krishna, Hey Krishna, and she was crying. I mean, her whole body was soaked with tears. So he asked, can you please tell me where is that person Krishna is? So this lady said, look, there is that the kingdom of Nanda Maharaj. So you go there. Krishna with his friends have gone to the forest. And so to tend the cows. And anyway, so he went to the kingdom of Nanda Maharaj, the village of the Braja, and there he was. Still there he was looking for Krishna, and he saw different people were talking about Krishna. And then towards the evening he heard the sound of the flute, and it was the most wonderful thing that he ever heard. And immediately he saw that everyone became alert. Everybody became very joyful in anticipation. The cowherd girls came running out of their rooms. In such great hurry that they had their clothes put. Some were wearing their upper clothes as the lower, and the lower clothes as their upper garment. Some had their necklace on their head, some had their earrings in their nose. They're all completely mixed up in the great haste, and the trees began to, they just blossomed into flowers, and they started pouring honey, and everyone, and the cowherd men also came out in anticipation of seeing Krishna, and the whole atmosphere became filled with Krishna's flute playing 6 ragas and 36 raginis. And then Krishna saw Gop Kumar, and then Krishna told Shridam, "Look, Shridam, this Gop Kumar has his name was actually Swarup. He says Swarup has come. His spiritual name in spiritual sky was Swarup. Swarup has come. He is of your clan." And saying that, Krishna ran towards Gop Kumar, and he embraced him and fainted. Krishna fainted. So when they saw Krishna fainting like that, the cowherd girls, the gopis, became very worried and thought that this Gop Kumar may be a spy of Kamsa, and he must have, and these people have great mystic powers, so he may have done something to Krishna. And they started to cry, some of them fainted. And then hearing that cry, the other cowherd men came running. Then Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai came and started asking, what happened to our Krishna? So everyone became very worried, and the whole atmosphere became filled with the sounds of anxiety. Different people were crying in a different way, seeing Krishna fainting like that. And so then Balaram came, and Balaram also became a little worried, a little perturbed that in the beginning, seeing Krishna like that. But Balaram knows Krishna's mind. So Balaram told Swarup, not told, he took Swarup's hands and made it wrap around Krishna's neck. And till then Krishna was holding on to Swarup's neck. Even when he fainted, he was clinging onto Swarup's neck. And so Balaram made Swarup embrace Krishna. So when Swarup embraced Krishna, then Krishna came back to his senses, and his eyes were filled full of tears till then, and he began to ask Swarup that, "My friend, I have been missing you so much. I know how much difficulties you have to go through to come to me." And so this way he was asking about Swarup. He was expressing his love for this boy, Gop Kumar, and he asked about his welfare. And then Krishna got up, and Swarup dusted the body of Krishna. Then they walked towards Krishna's house with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. And others could not follow them. Only the deers from the forest walked a little distance, but then they stopped and they just kept on looking at Krishna with tears in their eyes. The birds were flying above Krishna's head, but then it became dark, so then they also withdrawn and went back to their nests. And so Krishna Balaram with Swarup went to the house of Nanda Maharaj. And Mother Yashoda wanted to give Krishna a bath. So at that time, gopis came, arrived there, following Krishna. Actually, Sridham and Swarup were walking behind Krishna, and just behind them, the other gopis were walking, so they also came into the house, into the room. Then Krishna playfully told Mother Yashoda that he was very hungry, Mother Yashoda and Mother Rohini, that he was very hungry and he wanted to eat some food. So Mother Yashoda told the gopis to give a bath, give Krishna a bath. And she and Rohini went to prepare some food for Krishna. So then the gopis, they were smearing Krishna's body with some oil. With their soft hands, they were smearing Krishna's body, massaging Krishna's body with the oil. They first dusted Krishna's body with their own, with the end of their cloth, and then they were rubbing oil in his body. And their hands were so soft, but still Krishna, he cried out as if in great pain. And then immediately Mother Yashoda came running, asking, what happened to my Krishna? And then Krishna said, then she came and saw that Krishna was actually laughing. So she realized that it was Krishna's childish prank. And Balaram was bathed first, and then Balaram was sent out to call Nanda Maharaj. And so in the meantime they are giving this bath to Krishna. Then they bathe Krishna, and after bathing Krishna, Krishna said, Nanda Maharaj came in the meantime. So when Nanda Maharaj came, all the gopis ran away. They went away from there. So Krishna sat down. Krishna and Balaram sat on the right hand side of Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna sat on the left hand side. And then Sarup was also asked to sit next to Krishna. And so Krishna first had different preparations made of milk, and then he took different rice preparations and sabjis and chapatis, all wonderful preparations. And Sarup felt that he never really tasted anything like this before. And then the gopis came with their preparations and gave them to Mother Yashoda. So and then they were hiding from behind the curtain. They were watching Krishna eat. And Krishna knew that they were hiding behind the curtain and watching him. So when Krishna took the food, and he started to exclaim, "Oh, how nice," just to make the gopis happy. And then ultimately Mother Yashoda gave offered Krishna the sweets that were prepared by Radharani. They were the sweets called Manohara Laddu. So Krishna knew that this was from Radharani. So Krishna just took a little bite, and he made a face and said, "Oh my God!" And he made an exclamation that is so bitter, and he couldn't take it. So, and Krishna gave it to Sarup, said that since this belongs to your group leader's sister, actually Sridham is Radharani's brother, and Sarup belongs to that clan, that group. So he said, maybe you will like it. I could not take it. And Mother Yashoda became very much worried. He said that he immediately told Radharani, "What's the matter? Why did you make some bitter laddus for Krishna?" And Nanda Maharaj could not figure out why Radharani made a bitter laddu for Krishna like this, that Krishna couldn't even take it. But then Krishna looked at Radharani from the corner of his eyes with a smile, and then Sarup could make out that Krishna was actually making fun of Radharani like this, just to attract her attention. And so then he took the laddu, and after taking the laddu, when Sarup took the laddu, he felt that this is the best of all the prasad. This is the most wonderful prasad that he even took there. And became surprised at why Krishna said like that. And then he realized that Krishna was actually making fun. And so after taking prasad, Krishna went to sleep, and different devotees were, some were fanning Krishna, or different gopis were fanning Krishna, or some were massaging Krishna's feet. It has been described that Chandravali and Lolita were massaging Krishna's feet. Some were fanning Krishna, and some were holding the Radharani was giving betel nuts to Krishna's mouth, and some were holding the spittoon for Krishna to spit. Some were fanning with the chamar, some were peacock fan, and then Krishna fell asleep. So then all the gopis left. So in the meantime, Sridham took Swarup to his house. And Swarup felt very bad that now, thinking about Swarup, he was expressing his love for this boy, Gop Kumar, and he asked about his welfare. And then Krishna got up, and Swarup dusted the body of Krishna. Then they walked towards Krishna's house with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. And others could not follow them. Only the deers from the forest walked a little distance. But then they stopped and they just kept on looking at Krishna with tears in their eyes. The birds were flying above Krishna's head. But then it became dark, so then they also withdrawn and went back to the nest. And so Krishna Balaram with Swarup went to the house of Nanda Maharaj. And Mother Yashoda wanted to give Krishna a bath. So at that time, gopis came, arrived there, following Krishna. Actually, Sridham and Swarup were walking behind Krishna. And just behind them, the other gopis were walking. So they also came into the house, into the room. Then Krishna playfully told Mother Yashoda that he was very hungry, Mother Yashoda and Mother Rohini, that he was very hungry and he wanted to eat some food. So Mother Yashoda told the gopis to give Krishna a bath. And she and Rohini went to prepare some food for Krishna. So then the gopis, they were smearing Krishna's body with some oil. With their soft hands, they were smearing Krishna's body, massaging Krishna's body with the oil. They first dusted Krishna's body with their own, with the end of their cloth. And then they were rubbing oil in his body. And their hands were so soft. But still Krishna, he cried out as if in great pain. And then immediately Mother Yashoda came running, asking, what happened to my Krishna? And then Krishna said, then she came and saw that Krishna was actually laughing. So she realized that it was Krishna's childish prank. And Balaram was bathed first, and then Balaram was sent out to call Nanda Maharaj. And so in the meantime they were giving this bath to Krishna. Then they bathed Krishna, and after bathing Krishna, Krishna said, Nanda Maharaj came in the meantime. So when Nanda Maharaj came, all the gopis ran away. Went away from there. So Krishna sat down, Krishna and Balaram. Balaram sat on the right hand side of Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna sat on the left hand side. And then Swarup was also asked to sit next to Krishna. And so Krishna first had different preparations made of milk, and then he took different rice preparations and sabjis and chapatis, all wonderful preparations, and Swarup felt that he never really tasted anything like this before. And then the gopis came with their preparations and gave them to Mother Yashoda. And then they were hiding from behind the curtain. They were watching Krishna eat. And Krishna knew that they were hiding behind the curtain and watching him. So when Krishna took the food, and he started to exclaim, "Oh, how nice," just to make the gopis happy. And then ultimately Mother Yashoda gave offered Krishna the sweets that were prepared by Radharani. They were the sweets called Manohara Laddu. So Krishna knew that this was from Radharani. So Krishna just took a little bite and he made a face and said, "Oh my God." And he made an exclamation that is so bitter and he couldn't take it. So, and Krishna gave it to Swarup, said that since this belongs to your group leader's sister, actually Sridham is Radharani's brother, and Swarup belongs to that clan, that group. So he said, "Maybe you will like it." I could not take it. And Mother Yashoda became very much worried. He said that he immediately told Radharani, "What's the matter? Why did you make some bitter laddus for Krishna?" And Nanda Maharaj could not figure out why Radharani made a bitter laddu for Krishna like this, that Krishna couldn't even take it. But then Krishna looked at Radharani from the corner of his eyes with a smile, and then Swarup could make out that Krishna was actually making fun of Radharani like this, just to attract her attention. And so then he took the laddu, and after taking the laddu, so when Swarup took the laddu, he felt that this is the best of all the prasad. This is the most wonderful prasad that he even took there. And that's why he became surprised. Why Krishna said like that? And then he realized that Krishna was actually making fun. And so after taking prasad, Krishna went to sleep. And different devotees were fanning Krishna, or different gopis were either fanning Krishna, or some were massaging Krishna's feet. It has been described that Chandravali and Lolita were massaging Krishna's feet. Some were fanning Krishna, and some were holding the... Radharani was giving betel nuts to Krishna's mouth. And some were holding the spittoon for Krishna to spit. Some were fanning with the